Hello, everyone. Hello. I see you piling on in. So come on into the room and we can get started. How are you all tonight? Today, tonight. I was reading not too long ago that I wish I could remember the number. If I had known I was going to talk about this, I would have looked up the number, but it's like only 36 days or something until the sun goes down at 7. It's still a little sunny outside. It's a little after 5 here, but I thought, whoo, I'm going to be really glad. My nervous system is going to be really glad when the days are longer. What do you think? Hello, Mary Catherine. It's good to see you. Annette, Margaret. Awesome. Awesome. Good evening. So I'm going to close the chat for now because it will just distract me. I'll want to talk to y'all in the chat all night long. So feel free to support one another. We're here for about an hour. We're going to talk about tonight, of course, how to feel the hard stuff without eating. But the note I was given about the theme for tonight was how to eat without fear. How to eat without fear. So I was thinking, what does that mean? What does it mean to eat? How do fear and eat go together? So I came up with a few things. Y'all let me know if I'm on track. So how do we experience, I have notes. How do we experience fear around eating? So give me a thumbs up if you are afraid of overeating. Anybody afraid of overeating? Yeah, a few of you. How about, are you afraid of making mistakes? Probably so. That's me. I have a fear of making mistakes. How about a fear of not ever going to be able to eat what you want? That's interesting, right? That's a little bit of diet mentality. Oh, I have fear of making a mistake twice. Isn't that fun? Any other fears around eating that you might experience? Oh, how about fear of not losing your weight or fear of not keeping off your weight? It's a big one too, right? Yeah. So fear can, here are my notes. Fear can be immobilizing. When I feel afraid, it's like I don't know what to do. I'm immobilized. And fear takes the information we have from the past and assumes the same outcome for the future. Isn't that interesting? Right? It takes the information from the past and assumes the outcome will be the same. So sometimes when I feel fear, I think to myself, what is this fear trying to tell me? I think that's an important question to ask. Because a lot of times fear comes from our nervous system going, something's wrong here. We need to, there's a problem, right? So fear is activated. What if we just assess for a minute? What is this fear trying to tell me? Is it true? Or is it something I can challenge a little bit? Is it something that maybe I don't know the outcome of? I'll give you an example. Your girl loves lasagna, homemade lasagna. So when I make a big pan of lasagna, I look at that and I think, I am not going to want to stop eating this. I'm afraid I'm going to overeat my lasagna. Okay. And then that would lead to a mistake, would lead to discovery worksheet, it would lead to gate. I can catastrophize. What does the Korean call it? Hypothetical hell. I can catastrophize like the best of them. Okay. It's going to lead to all these terrible things happening. And that's what I fear, those terrible things happening. But if I bring it back to, okay, there's a pan, all that's here is a pan of lasagna. What if I just take one piece and assess hunger and enough? And if I eat a small piece and reach my enough, guess how many small pieces that is? Guess how long I get to enjoy this rather than eating a quarter of the pan and overeating and being miserable and then having the beat down. So I wonder if sometimes if the fear is actually in what we do or what we're afraid the outcome is, or if it's in the beatdown. Because our brains don't like self-judgment is not something our brain really likes. It's not something our body likes. It creates an unsafe place in our minds. So maybe that's what the fear is. Anyway, kind of off script, off topic, but I think that's interesting to think about. So what is the fear telling you? Is it true, or is it something to be challenged? Right? So what is the antidote? How do you fix it? How do you, other than challenging it and thinking about it and deciding if it's really true, what else can you do? You can think of perfectionism versus consistency. Because if you have a fear of making mistakes and you tend to beat yourself up when you make a mistake, then that's perfectionism, right? I'm afraid I'll get it wrong. I'm afraid I'll do something wrong. What if we decide maybe there's a lesson here and I'm going to try again? That's consistency. So perfectionism is expecting that everything will go beautifully, and when it does, we're heroes. We got it, right? But when it doesn't and we aren't, here comes the beatdown. We have trouble forgiving ourselves. We tell ourselves, you'll never get this. We give up, right? All or nothing, perfectionism. But consistency is expecting that you'll show up and try each day, and you'll look at the outcome with curiosity instead of expectation. Now, Corinne talks about this in module two of No BS. I think I could listen to the perfectionism versus consistency lesson over and over and over, over and over. When I have a private client who loses weight, I just got off the phone with one or off the Zoom right before this call. She said, Kathy, I'm back down to my, X weight. And she was so excited. My first question is always, how did you do that? How'd you lose that weight? Because it's easy to assume that's what should happen. And, maybe should doesn't belong in that phrase. Maybe it's more, I was very intentional. I made these decisions. I did these things. I was happy with my work, right? And if they don't lose weight, guess what I ask them? Pretty close to the same thing. Tell me what happened. Tell me why you didn't lose weight. Right? And I ask them what they learned from their assessment. Because really good, true assessments don't happen if you're in self-judgment, if you're in perfectionism. Because assessments happen, good assessments happen when you're curious and when you plan for the next time. So when you assess without fear and judgment, you learn and you grow. So those are my thoughts about fear. Those are my thoughts about fear. Tonight is coaching. It is open coaching. It is raise your hand and I will call you up and we can talk. I'm here for an hour. So if you want to be coached tonight, please raise your hand. If you want to talk to me, ask me any questions, any of the things. Let's see what's going on with this down here. I do have a question in the Q&A, so I'll answer this while y'all are raising your hand. What is the difference between fear and anxiety? That's a really good question. So, for me, I can answer it from my perspective. Fear, anxiety is associated with worry to me. If I'm worrying a lot about something, I'm very anxious about it. Fear, on the other hand, is more of a concern that the past is going to repeat itself or the unknown is coming. I think I would, let's do this. Let's do this, Kim. I am big on looking at the definition of things. So I'm going to type in anxiety definition, and it says a common emotional state characterized by feelings of unease, worry, oh, guess what? Fear or apprehension. Let's see what it says about fear. Fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. And I added in that whole looking from the past because I think fears can be learned. I really do. So hopefully that answers your question. If it doesn't, ask me another one. Okay. All right. Robin, thank you for raising your hand. There is only one hand raised, just so y'all know. It's going to be a short call. It's going to be a short call if y'all don't raise your hands. Good. Somebody else raised their hand. Awesome. All right. Promoting you now, Robin. Let's make sure she's coming. Awesome.
Here we go.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. I'm gonna move. I'm moving away from kids
Okay.
to a closet. So I apologize. My closet is messy. Okay.
I don't care. Your closet. All right,
That's great.
what are we talking about?
I am trying to work through feelings of kind of worthlessness, and not being enough. And it happens a lot, like not this last weekend, but the weekend before that, I had a huge argument with my husband, and in the middle of the argument, he said that I make it that I'm difficult to love. And I don't really know what to do with that. I don't know that I'm worth the work. I don't know that I'm worth any time. And it just I don't know.
Don't know if you're worth the work.
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, I don't feel like I am worth even spending time on myself. And when he said that I make it hard to love or to be loved, it really, really hurts a lot for, a lot of different reasons. But I feel like it kind of seems to be a common theme in my life, like, and I don't know, it just makes me sad and I want to eat.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and I'm not asking your emotional brain, I'm asking your very logical brain. Okay, or maybe we'll
Okay.
just ask your kids. You said you got kids. How many kids you got?
I've got two living children,
And how old are they? All
7 and 4.
right. Would that 4-year-old say that you're easy to love or hard to love?
We have a bail bond set for her, so I don't know that she would be a good one to ask.
All
Just
right.
kidding.
How about the
She
7-year-old?
she's sassy. The 7-year-old, yes, the 7-year-old would say, and the 4-year-old would too. It just would be roundabout.
Okay. And so there are people in your life that find you easy to love.
If they're under the age of 10, yeah.
Okay. Your parents living?
Yes.
Do they find you easy to love?
No. My dad does not.
Okay.
My mom finds me easy to love, but she said that she doesn't think that I am meant to have happiness.
Well, your mom's got a janked up opinion. I'm just gonna say that.
She does. And she's got
Okay.
plenty of her own issues, and I know
Okay.
that.
All
So, but
right.
I know she
There
loves me.
are, right now, in this moment, there are 154 people on this call. So I'm gonna ask them, y'all, do you think Robin is easy to love? Oh my goodness. And they don't hardly know you. But you know what? We all are worthy of unconditional love. Okay? But it starts from within. We are all worthy of unconditional love. We are all lovable humans. Okay? Do you believe me? Do you believe I'm lovable?
I definitely believe you're lovable.
All right. Do you believe you are lovable?
I don't.
See
I
the
don't believe I am.
difference is your perception of me versus your perception of yourself. It's not a fact, it's perception. It's what you're thinking. How about that? What do you think about that?
Probably true. I would say it's true.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to make that shift when I feel like no matter what I do, it's always wrong.
Is it
So no
wrong to
matter
you or wrong to someone else?
it's wrong to someone else.
Right. And
So it's a
that's the difference. So what you're doing is you are conceiving your lovability based on what someone else says. I'm going to tell you something. There's people in this world that don't like Kathy Hartman. I can promise you that. There's people in this world don't like Corinne Crabtree or MJ Sharifi. But that doesn't mean I have to love myself any less. I have to care for myself any less. Just because you've got a husband over here who's mouthy and says you're difficult to love does not mean he's right. You just took his words and made them truth. So is it easier to believe him that you're difficult to love, or easier to believe 154 of us? Oh, it's up to 162 now to say you are lovable.
Well, if I am being honest, it's easier to believe it from him because as much as I appreciate the love from everyone, they don't know me. They know my face and they know what I'm saying.
Okay, so
But
tell me why you are not easy to love.
I get it all wrong. I'm stubborn.
You get it all wrong. That doesn't count. You're stubborn. Okay, what else?
I am stubborn and I'm sometimes loud and I mostly want to stay at home and be quiet. It just depends on the group of people. And I don't know. I guess I don't really know, but
Oh, you don't
and I
know? Yet you
no.
accept it as the truth. Anybody else here stubborn? Anybody else here like to stay home and be quiet? I'm not really a loud person most of the time. I don't think that makes you a bad human or hard to love. I think your perception is just a little bit off because you have people in your life who tell you these things. Just because if your husband were to come in here and say, "Hey, Robin, guess what? The sky, it's like purple." The sky's never purple, right? He's just wrong. Or his perception of the color is wrong. This is the thing I want you to do. I want you to really think about working through the February program this year. This year, this month. Because one of the biggest gifts we can give ourselves is to, I'm not going to expect that by February 28th, Robin is going to love herself. But what I would love to know is if Robin is able to find things about herself that are lovable. Is there anything about you that is lovable?
I'm sure there is somewhere.
Okay. Do you care about other people?
I do.
Okay.
So I guess that I'm that is a lovable thing
Okay.
here.
Do you have a good, strong moral compass? Or are you like floozing all over town?
I think a pretty good moral compass.
Pretty good moral compass, right? When somebody calls you up and says, "Hey, Robin, I'm having a really tough day. Do you have time to talk? Do you talk?"
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I would give the shirt off my back to people. And I've always been one of those disposable friends, no matter on that. Like my whole life I've been the disposable friend that they call when they're in trouble, and then they don't remember me when it's time to go out and have fun.
That's a terrible thing to think about yourself, a disposable friend.
Right?
So they call you when they're in trouble because they know how caring you are. Right? So what if you called them and said, "Hey, let's go out and let's go to the movies. I got a free night. How about the movies tonight?"
The sad thing is they wouldn't go.
How
Like
do you know? Have you asked them?
I have. It was so much so that I even when my daughter turned one, It was 2021, so COVID was still going a little bit. And we only had a handful of people. And I invited some of our very best friends, I thought were some of our very best friends. And they called at 4 o'clock that day and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we overdid it last night, so we're not going to come." And so I was like, "You know what? Okay, I'm going to wait until they contact me again." It was over a year and a half.
Why did you make that about you and not about them?
I did in the beginning, and then it's been a lot more of kind of understanding that they're just crappy people. But that's my assessment of them, and I know that that's not a very fair thing.
Well, there's your moral compass, which means you're a good human. Here's the thing. There's a place in the relationship course called the circle, your circle of friends. Okay, I want you to find it. Do you know where? Can you? Are you within 90 days? Or are you after 90 days?
Oh, I'm after 90 days, yeah.
Okay, I
So I
want you to
know
go to the
where to find them.
pathways, and I think it's in the understanding your thinking module. And inside that mod pathway, sorry, understanding your thinking pathway, and inside that pathway is the relationship course, and it talks about your circle of friends. And it talks about how to cultivate your circle of friends. So you get to decide who is within your circle and who isn't. And you get to make that choice based on how you feel when you're around them. All right. If you feel like the disposable friend around this group of people, maybe they're not your people. Right? I mean, I'm looking at this chat. And there's all these people going, "Where do you live? I'd spend time with you." Right? And you're probably in your brain, you're probably going, "Yeah, but you don't know me." I think we know you well enough to know that, inside of this membership, you get all the support and everything that you ever want or ask for. But you have to love yourself and believe in your lovability enough to put yourself out there and say, "I need a friend. I would love a friend."
So, how do I go about loving myself? How would I go about fixing that?
Fixing your own self-concept.
Yes.
Yeah,
Because
you
I mean,
start.
I've tried and I've been in the program since 2022, and I've done all kinds of different things, and I still, after all that, still just I don't know how to help myself. I don't know how to help myself.
There's a couple of things. Obviously, I'm going to say private coaching would be perfect for you. I don't know if that's within your budget or not. But working
Unfortunately.
one-on-one with a coach on self-love would be perfect for you. Aside from that, you have to start with self-acceptance. Okay, you know who you are and look for the qualities that you like about yourself. You don't go straight from, what did you say? Don't know if I'm worth the work and the time to, I love myself now. Everything's amazing. It's baby steps up into that. It's stopping self-judgment. It's, who am I? I'm a mom. I'm a wife. My name's Robin. I have a good moral compass and I'm working on myself. Right? It's knowing who you are and finding those things about yourself that you want to appreciate. You a good mother?
I try to be.
That's
They would
an
say
awesome
yes.
response, okay? I try to be is an awesome response because that means that you're putting effort into that, right? You're putting effort into being a good mother. What if you started putting effort into being a good friend to yourself, to giving yourself a little care now and then, a little appreciation now and then, to being aware of who you are and the goodness about you? That's the work. And you are worth the work. Okay. Your kids would say so. Your mom would say so. And all these people on this call, on this call, give us like a thumbs up or a heart or some kind of emoji if you have ever had to do the same work on yourself. Look at that, Robin. We've all done this work on self-worth. We've all done it. And it's a work in progress, but it won't start until you start, until you do it intentionally. And you think about, what is it about me that other people might like? Annette does it every day. Karen does it every day. Janet says it took a long time to find her people. Step one for you is to stop gauging your worth on what you perceive other people's opinions to be. You have to develop your own opinion. What are you thinking? You're looking at me like, girl, there's just no hope.
Girl, there's just no hope. No,
Do you really
I
believe
just,
that? I don't think you do, or you wouldn't be on this call.
I don't, yeah, I was gonna say, like, specifically put this call on the calendar a couple weeks ago, raised my hand to be coached, because there's just so much. There's so much. Not enough to go through all this call, maybe a different one. So I think that it's possible. But I don't, I've based my opinions on myself for so long on what other people think that I don't even know how to develop my own self-concept. Does that make sense?
Oh, you have a self-concept. Give me five words
Okay, a
that
good
describe yourself.
self-concept.
Yeah, give me five words that describe Robin.
Do they need to be nice?
What?
Do they need to be nice?
Try and make them as neutral as you can.
Okay.
Well, we won't even go to nice yet, okay? Make them as neutral as you can. Five things
Mm.
about you and not things I can see. Like, don't tell me I wear glasses or I have blonde hair.
I'm short. I can't see that.
All
No,
right, but I'll give you number one.
I.
I try to be a good mother. That's number one. You've told me that. What's
Try
number
to be
two?
good. I am a lawyer, so I am somewhat smart.
Yeah.
I
Oh, can I just say in Tennessee, you have to be really smart to be a lawyer because the bar exam sucks.
sucks everywhere.
Okay, so you're probably more than somewhat smart, but we'll go with somewhat since that's what you
We'll go
gave
with
me. What
somewhat.
else?
I'm a pretty decent cook.
Okay, pretty decent cook.
And my family is everything.
Okay, love your family.
And I'm tired.
And you're tired. Okay, which acknowledges a need, which also makes you worthy because you're acknowledging a need. Okay, worthiness is a tough concept. I'm going to give you that. It's a tough concept. Self-worth, improving your own self-worth, takes time and it takes effort and it takes practice. But if you can tell yourself, I'll even give you three things each day, three reasons it's okay to be Robin each day, you're going to start building on that. Okay? And it's things you think. It's not what your husband thinks or what your friends think. You can ask your kids because they're going to help you. Okay? But that's how you start. You start getting to know yourself, self-awareness, and then eventually you can level up those things that you gave me. You said I'm a pretty good cook. I'm sort of smart. To I'm pretty smart because I passed the bar. And I'm a good cook. I mean, look at this lasagna I made, or whatever it is. Okay? That's where you start.
Okay.
I would love to see you next month. I want you to come back next month and tell me how you leveled up your five things. Can you do that for me?
I can try. It just depends on if I have the ability to with kids.
Do those kids sleep?
They do know on Tuesdays I usually have my friend's daughter
Oh, I
along with
see.
that's a 4-year-old along with my 4-year-old and then the 7-year-old. And so it
Okay.
just
Well, if you
depends on
can't,
whether or not
all right.
she has come to get her.
If you can't come to the call next month, are you in the Facebook group?
Yes.
There'll be a post in the Facebook group. I want you to reply to the post. There'll be a post about the call in the Facebook group.
Okay. And it
Okay.
was for five ways I leveled up. Is
Yep.
that what it was?
The thoughts that you gave me, you'll listen to this replay. Write down the thoughts you gave me, the five things that are good about you or neutral about you, and how you've worked on those five things throughout the month and how you've leveled them up.
Okay.
I have one more question for you.
Oh, good, because I had another one for you. So
Oh,
go
you
for
go
it.
first. You go first.
When I'm gauging these, when I'm doing something that in my mind is being thoughtful, and the feedback is from the person I thought I was being thoughtful to is anger, how do I reconcile that?
I'm sorry you feel that way. Did my best. Did exactly what I thought was right. Sorry you feel that way.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, that allows you to consider what you did thoughtful and tells them, I hear you, but it doesn't mean I agree.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm sorry, what was your last question for me?
Do you have an accountability group?
I do, and I believe they are both on this call right now. So hi, Valerie. Hi, Chris.
Oh, you know, I saw Valerie come in and say she loved you, and I thought, oh, that's nice. Does she know her? She does. So
Yep.
look, Valerie loves you. You must be lovable. Right?
They're a good group.
They are a good group. Make sure she does her homework, y'all. Make sure she posts for me. Okay? We will. See, look, now I have a posse.
Right.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'll be okay.
Take a deep breath and blow it out. You're going to be okay. You just have some learning to do. That's all. And it's learning, girl. You saw the emojis. It's learning we've all worked on, continue to work on. Okay? Got
Okay.
anything else?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Not this time. Another time.
Okay. Hang in there.
All right. Thanks, Kathy.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Yes, I have not read Let Them yet, but it is I ordered it from the library. Tammy, I'm calling you up while I'm talking. Ordered it from the library, and I was like number 337 or something like that in line. So it's supposed to come in a couple of weeks. All right, Tammy.
Oh boy. Okay.
Hi.
Okay. So, hi. am I freezing? Okay.
No, you're good.
This is the part where I get look nervous for 30 seconds. But okay. So along the same thread of like you said some keywords, fear, self-love, of course, and deserving. So yesterday I found myself in a dentist chair. In a new dentist, and I checked all the boxes on the paper that says anxiety, past bad experiences, coddle me, coddle me, coddle me, like all the things. And it did not go well. And I was crying in the chair. And I'm not triggered right now, but you know, it's like the aftershocks after an earthquake or something, you know, like the lasting reverberations of having been triggered for a good 8, 10 hours. So I was like the 11-year-old girl in the worst part of life, the worst part of my life, and I looked down at what I was wearing, and I don't know about you, I don't dress up to go to the dentist. So I was in like super casual clothes, and I looked down and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm still that foster girl. Nothing has changed. I'm still her, it's just so I came up right against like, who is this like little girl that I go on dates with, who I talk to and who I journal with, like seeing her truly again, in all of her pain. And I'm not sure I've been this acquainted with her ever.
So you're getting to know your, as Corinne would call it, your inner child, that piece of you, that piece of you that you've carried forward with you. Is that a problem?
I was terrified. I was literally terrified.
But you were
And
terrified of knowing her or of the dentist?
of like, it's that analogy of like, okay, so you're driving the car, but your shame is in the back seat, or your inner child's in the back seat, whatever. Like, she's been driving the car for a couple days.
What is she trying to teach you? What does she want you to know?
That she's not okay. Like I can tell the story. I've told the story of like public speaker, published books, like told the story. And it's a great story, which is why you tell it. But when I tell it, there's only a little emotion there. You know what I mean? But
So
I
go back
was,
to she's
okay.
telling you she's not okay, right? So tell me how old she is.
11.
She's 11. Okay. And at 11, she's not okay. How old are you now?
55.
55. Okay. So if you could talk to her, your 55-year-old accomplished self can talk to 11-year-old you, what would you tell her?
A few years ago, I thought everything was pretty stable. And then, I got divorced, all the things. So a few years ago, I might have said, we're going to be okay. But there is a part of the adult me right now who's like, I don't know, don't know if we're going to be okay.
Well, that's just part of you that's concerned. That's okay. But I'm looking at a Tammy now who's in a house, who's dressed nice, got her hair combed, got her glasses on, she's got a computer, right? You might be going through some stuff, but you came to this call. You're getting coached.
I do love you. I thank you in advance for all the
Thank
wisdom. I don't even know where you're going to go with it. I'm just
you.
completely in trust right now.
So, if Tammy today, even though Tammy today has her own struggles and her own things that she's dealing with, right, could talk to Tammy that's 11, that's in real distress, wouldn't you tell her something like, I know it's hard right now. Almost came out my mouth. Boo. That's what I got. So that's how I talk to myself. I know it's hard right now, boo. That's my loving word.
That's so cute.
I know it's hard.
I think I
But
would
you know
tell
what?
her that she's safe now.
Oh, what a beautiful thing to tell her.
Think that's
Right?
all she wants.
Yeah. And she's, you know what? She is always going to be a part of you. Okay. And I love to say that every day that we lived brings us to today, molded us into the person that we are today. And if you're feeling safe today, it's because of 55 years of working toward safety. today.
Yes.
So if you just tell her, I got you. We're safe now. It's okay that you're upset. It's okay that you're scared. You were dealing with a lot, in a very compassionate, normalizing way. But we're okay. I promise. And we're going to keep being safe because I now have a lot more tools. I have good people around me. I know how to take care of myself, all those kinds of things. I have homework for you too.
Oh, go. Let me get a pen.
Are you ready? I want you to
Ready.
listen back and you can use anything that I've said or you can throw away everything I've said.
Okay.
I want you to write her a letter.
Okay.
Okay.
How perfect is that?
I want you to write her a letter and tell her how much you care about her, how much you acknowledge what she went through, how much you've learned about yourself, learned through the 44 years after her. And I want you to tell her at the very end, I love you. Because you do, right? You
I
do.
do.
Yeah.
She's damn cute.
Yeah, right? Tell her
Right.
that. You're damn cute.
Thank you.
Any of you who have any kind of, I don't know. I mean, I have childhood trauma. I was bullied like the boss in the fourth grade. And I think about her a lot. And I think about, how confused she was, how hurt she was. And I tell her, you know what? It's okay. It just means you are a loving, compassionate soul that thought you were being a good friend.
I think because I don't pay attention to her normally, like it's almost like we try not to think about it. So she's ignored and neglected. So it 10Xs, and then we have these little episodes where I'm bawling at the dentist and telling them, I really am a kind, intelligent person. Think that's it. Like, this is like when you're not triggered, write her letter, entertain her, like be with her, all of that. I've decided to do a weekly date with her, an hour, just like go out and do something random. I don't know. So, I'm gonna do the letter.
Perfect.
Okay.
I love
Anything
it.
else? Oh,
No,
Yoda.
that's your work. It's to give her your work is to give her a voice and to tell her you hear her.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe I'll use like a pink marker for her to reply.
Yeah.
Do
Yeah.
the
You can
double.
open up a conversation. Absolutely. That's
Yeah.
great. You can
Yeah.
doodle about her. You can draw about her.
Oh, she loves that. All right. Thank
Okay.
you.
You got it?
Think so.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too.
Okay, Kimber, you are next.
Hey there.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
You're right. So I have been having a problem with a friend.
Okay.
And this friend is a man, and he is on his own weight loss journey. And part of that journey has been exercise, and me and him go running together every once in a while, and I enjoy like being pushed a little bit farther, whatever, by him. But whenever he talks about food, I get very triggered because he has some very like disordered thinking that I'm really struggling with. Like yesterday's example,
He went for a long run and weighed himself, and there was a 5 pound difference. And he was like, "That's all water weight. Like, I'm not going to drink water for the rest of the day now, LOL." And this was just, it just threw me into like, I was so mad. How does it trigger you? Why does his behavior trigger you?
I'm hoping that you can help me figure that out because it's just like there was another situation where we were sitting at lunch and he was like sitting there looking really, really really just like disturbed. And I was like, "Oh, what's wrong?" And he's just like, I don't want to eat anymore. Like, I know how many calories I'm at and like I can't." And I'm so like upset by it because it turns my brain into this like, now we're competing or something like that. Or like, because he is doing it, that I am doing it. I feel very entangled. Like,
These
why?
are, why does he have more information about weight loss that for you than Corinne does?
It's very confusing. He like he doesn't like I know that what he's doing is like totally irrelevant to me.
I
I
think
would
what's triggering you is the disagreement in methodology. I think what's the conflict in you, I wouldn't even, I don't even know that I'd use the word trigger, but you did. I think it's the conflict in methodology. You just don't, he says something like, I'm not going to drink water the rest of the day because I'm up 5 pounds. And you're like, well, that's stupid. Why wouldn't you drink water the rest of the day? My question is, though, can you let him have his opinion about weight loss? Or are you kind of, is it creating gray area for you? How strong is your commitment to the way you're losing weight?
It's really messing with me, I think. Which is where the hard feelings come in for me, is just like, I know what I'm doing is what I want to do for me. And like, I recognize that I view w some of what he's thinking as like disordered. And I've asked him to not talk about this around me because it just like throws me off in a way that like, well, he's talking about only eating 200 calories. Like, I should only eat 200 calories.
That's the problem. Not his talking, it's your agreement or your conflict. Right? Would you have the same reaction if he was counting points?
Probably because I know how the points math out.
Yeah. Would you have the same reaction if he were like, "No, nah, I can't eat that. I'm on the keto. I'm doing the whole 30."
I
Yeah.
guess.
So it's not what he's doing and whether or not you think it's disordered. It's that you're allowing that to penetrate what you believe in and what you're doing.
I understand what you're saying, but
So here's my next question.
okay.
Do you believe in what you're doing?
No.
Maybe that's the problem.
Because I've been on a stall for like a year. I think I've just like kind of viewed it as maintenance, but
Why have
I
you been
think
on a
that's
stall
very
for a
key.
year?
Huh?
Why have you been on a stall for a year?
Because I haven't figured out how to do it without starving myself. Honestly, like that's pretty much
Oh my
where
gosh. You
I'm
think
at.
you have to starve yourself to get off a stall?
No, it's just like it's been really difficult to like start losing weight again. I've just been having a really hard time with it. I have a wonderful accountability group. They're probably gonna listen to this.
Do you have a habit tracker?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, what is your enough
I
percentage
overeat
for
a
January?
lot,
That's
honestly.
the problem. It's not that you have to starve yourself.
I know, but it's just like, come on, you know what the problem is for like a year. So,
So that's the conflict with the friend. You're seeing him work his plan like a boss, whether you agree with it or not. And you're over here going, I'm gonna stall. I don't know if this is working for me.
It's like a jealousy feeling.
Yes, that's the problem.
It's so
You'll
weird because
feel what?
it doesn't feel it's weird because it doesn't feel like jealousy in my body. It feels like just anger. It's just like, God, just get this away from me.
Yeah. That's how jealousy presents sometimes. I don't want to deal with that because it's making me feel bad. His success is making me feel bad because I'm not having that success. But you're not having that success has nothing to do with him. Yeah, Krista says it's hitting a nerve. Yeah. Has nothing to do with him and how he's doing. Because I bet if you were having success, if you were working on your overeating, then whatever he did would not matter because you're coming down the scale too.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. So tell me what you can do this month to work on your overeating. It is self-love month, Kimberly.
I don't know. I've been working on it quite a bit. I have a lifestyle where I go out to eat a lot with my friends.
It doesn't matter.
And I've been trying to figure it out for this whole year because living in this city and having friends is a very new thing to me. That first call probably like got me primed and ready to cry because of that. Those were some very relatable feelings for past me. But I mean,
Well,
I
I'm
have.
really glad. Can we just pause here for a minute? I'm really glad. I hope Robin is still here so she can see that today's her can be past her in a little while. Okay.
I've
All right. So
definitely
keep
been.
going. You eat a lot, out a lot. You have a lot of friends. What does this have to do with overeating?
The social environment has been a very difficult one to navigate. And I keep trying different things, and it still remains that if I want to continue to go out and do these things, like I'm just not gonna lose weight.
That's not true.
I hope not.
No, you just have to stop overeating when you go out. You can go. I
I haven't
go
figured it out
out
yet.
on the weekends, girl. On the weekends, that's seven meals, right? I bet you I eat out five of them on the weekends. So, how do you stop overeating when you're eating out? How do you manage overeating when you're eating out? Give me some tactics.
I've been in this membership since 2019. So, tried a lot of different things. I
How many
have.
have you tried consistently?
I think that might be the problem is the consistency. Like, I don't order the same. Like,
Not about what you order.
I mean, like, I don't order the same thing over and over again. So, I like can't try the same thing with the same meal like I would when I'm at home. So, if I try the like eating half thing, it's always something different. So I think that's why I've never tried something consistently. Or like when you're over at a, I think really what it is when you're over at a friend's house and they put out snacks on the table and it's like impolite to not eat the snacks, or like I'm just anxious, so I'm eating the snacks, or I'm bored, so I'm eating the snacks. Like I know what I'm up to the vast majority of the time. It's like I'm bored. Or like I'm just uncomfortable in some way, so I like need to put food in my mouth.
Yeah, so what's wrong with being bored or uncomfortable?
I just need like some other stimulation to like replace it with, or I
Why?
need to sit with it.
Yeah. How about sit with it? How about feel your feeling? How about, gosh, this is boring. When do I get to leave? Doesn't mean I need to eat. Because you know what? I'm on a stall. I want to lose weight. I don't want to be on a stall.
Yeah.
That's the conversation you need to have when you're out with friends, either at their house, somewhere else. One tactic you can use is I never, 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 y'all, write this down. Don't eat out of serving dishes, only off a plate.
Yeah.
You know why? It gives you a visual reference of the quantity you're eating. Otherwise, you're eating behind your own back. You're not even thinking about it. You're just grazing.
Yeah.
You turn
I
around and
think
you're like, I don't think I ate that much, but you really have no idea. Okay.
some of this like ties all together with it for me is because I don't want to seem like I have a problem with food, but like I think I mean I know that I do have food, like I don't want to call them food problems because that feels very negative, you
Do you have
know?
food problems though, or do you have boredom problems?
I have food problems. I mean, like, I've definitely done a lot of binge eating in the past and a lot of like binging and restricting. So food has been a very major like coping mechanism.
But that doesn't make it a food problem. It makes it a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
watch how you talk to yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. It makes it a tool that you used to distract or relax
Yeah.
or not feel something like boredom or anxiety.
Yeah.
Okay, there's other tools to use. There's breathing, there's self-compassion, there's, all these things that I talk about on these calls all the time, the five core pillars, all those things. That you don't have a food problem, you're just using food to relax. And
Yeah.
that's just how we're conditioned. So when you're in a situation when you don't want to feel bored, anxious, worried, out of place, whatever it is, you self-soothe in a way that doesn't involve food. You either remove yourself from the situation, you make a friend, you create a visual reference, you do something that's not food related first. You try that first. In the pause before you eat. Does
Yeah.
that make sense?
I think it at least moved some thoughts around or like clarified some things.
So back to your friend, your pro friend problem. It's not really a friend problem, is it?
No. I think I am worried about him, but I think that the reason that it's causing such a strong reaction in me is very like, yeah, I can account that to jealousy. That is fair.
So it's time for you then to give yourself just a couple of minutes before you eat to distract from the feeling, to allow the feeling to see if you can, the feeling will burn off first. And you do that but with some other self-soothing gesture, whether it's a hot shower if you're at home, or just putting your hands on your arms and squeezing in a little bit, stepping outside, sometimes creating space, stepping outside in the,
I like
you know, if it's
that.
nice and cool, you get a big cool slap of air. If it's sunny, you get some sunshine.
Yeah, I
Connecting
like
with a friend, with somebody who loves you and understands you. Okay.
Okay.
What? You act like you don't believe me.
I do believe you. I'm just thinking of like what's the one of those that I can consistently do, I think, instead of like switching it up all the time. So I really liked that point of like what are you doing consistently?
Yeah. So here's what I would do. I'd pick something and I'd try it for a week, 2 weeks. If it works, great, stick with it. If it doesn't, that one's done, pick something else and consistently work with that one and see if that helps. Okay?
Okay.
What I would do, test things. And the one other piece of advice I want to give you is when you find yourself calming, automatically take a pause and go, okay, what did I just do? What inherently creates calm inside of me. Okay, what is an automatic calming technique other than food that I already do? That's the one to find and to use most often.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Go forth, do good work.
Right.
Get off that stall, girl. Seriously, if you have trouble working with your overeating, hit us up and ask coaches, okay? Because those coaches they're all over the overeating. They'll help you. Okay. All right. Take
Thank
care.
you.
All right. Okay, everybody. I'm going to hop off here. I hope you have an amazing month. Self-love. Lose, what is it? Lose however many pounds with love. Make sure you're doing that work. There's a lot of self-love conversation going on tonight. And I think it's the best work that you can do is getting to know yourself and loving on yourself. Okay? All right. Take care.